Warning. This program may contain language that could offend some listeners. Fur Affinity News is an independent production and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Fur Affinity staff.
Hello and welcome to Fur Affinity News, bringing you the highlights of Fur Affinity and the furry art community. I am your host, Two Griffin, which means you get two hosts in one. The bird half does most of the talking, of course, but if the lion half talks, well, I'm just talking out of my ass. Well, furries, it's that time of year again. We have been thrust into the fruitful, throbbing bosoms of springtime, and all the little furries have come out of their burrows to frolic in the sunshine, and all the big furries have come out of their caves to eat them. And with springtime comes new events and stories out of the furry world. Aren't your nipples just tingling with anticipation? First, though, some weather-related news. It appears that a couple of weeks ago, some strange weather patterns were observed over the areas of the furry fandom. Scientists explain that the drama levels of the furry fandom over the last year had finally reached a level high enough to condense into storm clouds until finally it began to rain llamas. Amongst the many areas to be affected by this llama shower was the Fur Affinity homepage. No deaths were reported from the llama storm, though a few furries were injured when suddenly llama butt was on their face from 45,000 feet. Many furries simply got out their umbrellas or grabbed a few of the llamas for a snack. Looking through the vast number of comments on the FA forums, many furries even said the llamas were cute or funny. Some furries even said they liked them. In fact, it seemed at first that no one had a whiny word to say about the llamas at all. However, in scouring the journals and forums, the staff of FAN, in other words, me, did run across a handful of furries who simply couldn't manage to pull their heads out of their asses long enough not to wham about a harmless April Fool's llama shower. Don't be discouraged, however. It's common knowledge that the day something happens in the furry fandom that no one whines about will be the day you wake up screaming in your bed and realize the furry fandom was all just a twisted conjuration of sinful subconscious brain activity you had while you were touching yourself in your sleep. And you're actually Rush Limbaugh. So enjoy it while it lasts. In other news, as some of you may have heard, the fandom has lost a furry artist, though not in the way you might think. No, he didn't die in a tragic bowling ball accident, aliens did not abduct his eyeballs, and no, he didn't just simply throw down his nipples and walk into the sunset. Here's an article from the San Francisco FBI website that might clear things up. United States Attorney General Joseph P. Russinilio announced that Frank Gimbeck Jr. of Cupertino, California, pleaded guilty on Monday to possessing child pornography. In United States District Court proceedings Monday, Mr. Gimbeck, 41, admitted to possessing approximately 100 videos and 14 still images on his computer and on DVDs which depict minors engaging in sexual explicit conduct. The child pornography included images of prepubescent children engaged in depictions of violent, sadistic, or masochistic conduct. That's right, folks, the same Frank Gimbeck that's been drawing lovely porn for the fandom since Moses was looking at it, has been sentenced to 5 years in prison and 3 more years probation. Now, I know there are a lot of furs out there who are shocked by this, and some are even asking that the fandom openly support this guy. Folks, as much as I know we like to stand up for our own, it's not like the guy was beaten for sitting in the front of the bus here. He had over 100 child porn videos. Now, I'm not going to make any judgments on whether or not child porn should be illegal or what should happen to somebody who's caught with it, but the fact is that it is illegal. Very illegal. And anyone with more than a strip of beef jerky rolling around in their skull knows that. There's a point where you just have to say, dude, thanks for the art, but you done fucked up. So for any of you out there who are fans of Frank Gimbeck's work, well, it's gonna be about 7 years now before there's a chance for any more of it. And regardless of what he did, his art was pretty darn good. I can only guess it'll be a matter of time before all of his archives are taken down, so if I were you, I'd check out his work now if you're interested. For many of you who frequently go to furry conventions, you've probably had the ass-tingling pleasure of dealing with the media or possibly even protesters. Personally, my favorite way of dealing with these guys is to shoot darts into their neck until they pass out, because a dart in your neck always does that, somehow. Hey, we've all seen them and they're easy enough to ignore, but what about protesters who are the media? If you think that's just a step too far to imagine, you'd be wrong, because it happened a few weeks ago at our very own Furry Week in Atlanta. While the security staff have kept the situation on a mostly need-to-know basis, many furries witnessed part of the exchange between security and the media and were very curious about the true story behind what happened. Well, your old pal Two here just happens to have the truth about what happened, and I'm gonna tell ya. You see, a local Atlanta shock radio station, Q100, had heard about the upcoming convention and had been announcing to their listeners that they planned to crash the party up to a week before the event. According to FWA staff members, this station made no attempt to contact them and ask for media privileges. And on Friday night, they held good to their promise. The guys from Q100 showed up in the hotel bar hoping to put on a train wreck show for their listeners and were apparently getting rather annoying stuffing microphones in people's faces. But the real fun came when they tried to get into FWA convention space and were promptly told to go to hell by the security staff. Seeing as they'd been promising to make the furries look like idiots for a week, the reporters then went to phase two. They sent a Twitter out over the internet, and within 20 minutes, the hotel became flooded with Q100 fans, all trying to crash the party.
So what did security do? What did they do?
They told them all to go to hell. That's right, security gleefully did their duty and sent the party crashers packing as soon as they got to the door. I hear that eventually the Q102 guys just hung their heads in shame and walked out of the hotel with nothing but a fat pile of fail. Ah, these are the kinds of stories that make the old Griffin happy, folks. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you happen to see one of the wonderful radio personalities from Q100, be sure to give them a big middle finger from the furry fandom. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. Of course, not all media gets tossed out on their ass so easily. The talk around the furry fandom lately has been about a new book set to be released this month called Furverts by Michael Cogliantri. The description of the book as seen on Amazon.com reads, "Birds do it, bees do it, but nobody does it like furries do it." Long an underground cult phenomenon, furries, people who dress up in animal costumes and roleplay, have gone global. Where have you been, Slick? Holding conventions where furries from around the world can meet and mingle. Photographer Michael Cogliantri captures the kinky, intimate side of the furry subculture. An elephant and a donkey? A chicken and a fox caught in flagrante delicto. Jesus, who talks like that? The playful board book format opens up with a peekaboo ring of fur on the cover, inviting the reader into the illicit and hysterically funny world of the furverts. Now, folks, there's no telling what horrors are going to be in this book, but this photographer created a previous publication called The Furry Kama Sutra, and let me tell you, from someone who's been in the fandom a long time, the pictures were completely staged. That is, unless there's a new branch of furries out there who wear animal costumes so cheap and ugly they make a Dallas prostitute feel good about herself. Now, I haven't seen the book Furverts, but your old buddy Two is gonna bet that some douchebag just paid some poor college students to pose in bargain basement Halloween costumes so he could claim they're furries. And I guess the guy figures he can make a few bucks at the expense of further degradation to the reputation of our fandom. If you ask me, that's a lot sicker than anything two furries could do in animal suits. So, in any case, do keep an eye out for this book. It might just become the next CSI episode or Vanity Fair article, you never know. Back after the break.
Hey, nice tackle, Steve.
Thanks. Say, Adam, your butt doesn't seem as firm as usual. Is anything wrong?
Oh, you noticed, huh?
Right away.
Oh, Steve, it's my local comic shop. They closed down, and the one across town doesn't carry my favorite anthropomorphic comics. I've felt droopy ever since.
Hey, you know, the same thing happened to me.
To you? But your butt's as firm as ever. How do you do it?
Rabbit Valley.
Rabbit Valley?
Rabbit Valley.
Rabbit Valley?
Rabbit Valley Comics. They have hundreds of the best anthropomorphic comics, and you can order them all online.
You mean no more trips to the comic store?
That's right. Rabbit Valley will send them right to your door.
Well, that's great, but you know I like hentai, too.
Rabbit Valley has hentai. Books, art prints, games, toys, they have everything an anthropomorphics fan needs, and you can get it all online. Rabbit Valley accepts all the major credit cards, and they ship all over the world. Just go to their website at rabbitvalley.com, and you'll see how easy it is.
Wow, I can practically feel my butt getting perky again already.
Hey, with Rabbit Valley, you'll be a tight end in no time. Rabbit Valley Comics. www.rabbitvalley.com.
And welcome back to FAN. This week's feature artist is Black Mane.
If I could describe this week's artist in a single solitary word, it would be holy crap, this guy can do anything. I don't think I've ever seen so many styles of artwork in one person's portfolio. Step into this artist gallery and anything could happen, from oil paintings, watercolors, digital shading, markers, pencils, even scratch boards. The subjects range from realistic and emotional to cartoony and silly, and just when you thought, oh my holy lord of ham and gravy, this is versatile, you suddenly realize that sometimes this artist even says, hey yo, I don't even need a stinking canvas. There is art on clocks and even on people in the form of tattoos. Well, I don't want to spoil everything, but I will say that no matter what kind of art it is, if you find it in Black Mane's gallery, it's going to be good. So go check it out and let Black Mane know that he, or she, as the case may be, is the featured artist on FAN. And now, on to the FAN Awards! Best Music Award for this week goes to Lullaby for You by Amber Dragon. Now, generally, if you didn't create the piece of art you're showing, then on this show, you will win nothing and like it. Maybe you will win some gravy to pour on your shame, but that's all. So the only way you're going to win Best Music on FAN by recording a song somebody else wrote is if you have so much talent, you blow my balls to the back of my chair. And let me tell you, folks, when I heard this song, I had to spend an hour looking for my balls in the front yard. Listening to Amber Dragon's voice will make you proud to be a furry again. It'll make you realize the talent that we do have in the music department. And this thing has only been viewed 6 times, so get over there and show Amber Dragon some love, okay? The Romance Award this week goes to Snuggle by Dark Meditation. Okay, there's a lot of different kinds of romance out there, and this is the adorable kind. One thing I've always liked about Dark Natasha is the detail she puts into fur, and in this case, it just serves to make the adorable look all that much more warm and fuzzy. The Cute Award this week goes to Shriek Dragon by Susie Dragon Lady. The cute controls you. It dominates you. It permeates every cell in your eyeball. And then you say, aww, and then you fall over dead. All these things will happen to you if you look at this picture. Hey, what is it with dragons and turning out all sickeningly cute lately, guys? What is it with that, huh? And by the way, this picture is a good example of listener input. This picture was suggested to me by a listener of the show, and I probably wouldn't have even seen it if he hadn't pointed out. So thank you all for your suggestions. The Hot Award this week goes to Socks by The Wielder. This picture is fairly simple. It's a shirt and some socks and a kangaroo inside of them. You'll notice, though, that I didn't mention pants. Well, that's because there are no pants. Instead, there's a big damn mess. This picture is not work safe at all, so save it for when you get home. I don't think this kangaroo would want you to lose your job because, well, actually, he might. Never mind. The Style Award this week goes to DJ Griff by Kaput Otter. Let me tell you, folks, just because this thing is a griffin doesn't mean that's why I chose it. Okay, it probably is. But in any case, here we have a rather abstract design of a DJ griffin done in watercolors. The only way I can describe the style here is messy. And not in the way that the last picture was messy either. Though it completely fits within the atmosphere of the picture. Hey, you go to some raves and everyone looks like an abstract drawing. And that's when you start wondering what was in that pill you took, you know? Personally, I think the style is a bit of a refreshing break from the tedium you often see in furry artwork. And it just so happens that if you want to own this picture, you can. It's up on Furbid now. The Comedy Award goes to Brilliant Strategy by Magak. There are no jokes here. It's not a comic strip or a political comment. It's simply a bit of nature caught at just the right moment. And no, it's not half of a fox just sitting there. He's diving in the snow. I don't know about anybody else, but I have to giggle when I saw this picture because I've seen real foxes actually doing this. The WTF Award this week goes to The Every Demon by Silver One. Now, this picture is a perfect example of a WTF, and it's also a wonderful demonstration of what I mean when I say the WTF Award doesn't mean the artwork is bad. In fact, the better the artwork is, the more it can make you go, what the fuck? This piece is just completely terrifying and completely brilliant at the same time. I'm not sure if I want to know what else is rattling around in Silver One's brain because it might just give me nightmares. Either way, this picture is wonderful and a perfect embodiment of the WTF Award, just for future reference. The Best Prawn Award this week goes to Got Something on Your Mind by Nars.
Okay, Japanese mon characters, you know, the Pokemon and the Digimon and whatever the fuck mon and the Hello Baby mon and yeah, fine. Those don't really thrill me. I'm not really impressed. However, if anyone can make good porn of them, it's Nars. I mean, you had to know he was going to win a porn award sometime. You just had to. I've been waiting for it, and today is the day. I don't care where these characters come from, Nars made them hot. Really good coloring work, really great character work. I'm not fond of the obligatory montage of random messy dicks in the background, but the characters are fun enough to look at that it's easy to pay attention to them instead. Finally, the best art award goes to, and I don't even know how to pronounce this. I'm gonna say it's Zepoid by Kaji. Beautiful, amazing, wonderful, brilliant. Have you noticed lately how pictures seem to be worth like maybe 23 words, maybe 30 at the most? Well, this one lives up to the full 1,000, I shit you not. Not only is it technically beautiful and extremely detailed, but you can get the impression of entire history behind the characters, what their personalities are like, and the kind of world they live in. If I didn't know any better, I'd say this was the cover of a fantasy book. It's actually an amazing piece of art, and has definitely earned the award for best art for this show. So run out and check out the winners and give them a big congratulations from me. And that should do it for this show. If you have any announcements about the furry world, whether it's a fur meet or a website opening, or you just blew a wad all over your frickin' computer screen or anything, please send an email to twoatrantinggriffin.com. Also, remember that advertising is still available, and slots are open for you furry artists and business owners out there. That's all we have for you for this show. We hope you'll join us again on the next edition of FA News. I'm 2 Griffin, and your furry art tip for the week is, don't paint on cheese. It will anger the cows. See you next time.